Have you ever found yourself in a conversation that started innocently enough, but quickly turned into a heated argument? Or perhaps you have been hiding your true feelings for fear of conflict? This episode describes the main concepts of the book Crucial Conversation by Al Switzler. By the end of this episode, you will have the right tools to transform your crucial conversations in opportunities for growing and mutual understanding.
Unleashing the power of dialogue. Have you ever found yourself in a heated argument where words seem to escalate the tension rather than resolve it? Well, that's where the power of dialogue comes in. It's not just about talking, but creating a safe environment for open discussion. Dialogue, as explained in the book Crucial Conversations, is the cornerstone of successful conversations. It's about fostering an environment where everyone feels comfortable expressing their thoughts and feelings. It's not about winning an argument, but about understanding and being understood. Think about a time you had a disagreement with a colleague or a loved one. Did the conversation end in a shouting match or a mutual understanding? If it went badly, then you're not alone. Many of us struggle with turning crucial conversations into productive dialogues. So how can we make this change? The first step is practicing active listening. When the other person is speaking, focus on understanding their perspective rather than formulating your response. When someone says something that we don't like, most times it happens for reasons that we don't know, so ask clarifying questions to ensure you've understood correctly. The worst thing you could do here is to escalate the conversation. When we answer because of anger, there is no space for cooperation and solving problems. Remember, the goal is to create a safe space for open and honest discussion.
Embracing the heart of the matter. We've all been in a situation where we are in the middle of a crucial conversation, and suddenly we lose sight of our real goals and start talking about that night at the restaurant 2 years before or last week's cleaning duties at home. In these cases, we are consumed by the heat of the moment and we react instead of respond. So why is it so important to start with heart? Well, the core idea here is to focus on what you truly desire from the conversation. This isn't about winning an argument or proving a point. It's about reaching a mutual understanding, fostering a stronger relationship, or solving a problem. It's about keeping your true intentions at the forefront, even when the going gets tough. The main point here is that your role in crucial conversations starts with you. You need to get clearly what your motives are, asking yourself questions like, what do I really want? And this could be related with yourself, but also with the other person and your relationship. Then you have to elaborate your thoughts to express your good intent. An example of such conversation might be,
I'm really struggling with how you discipline the children, but I also don't think we should raise them my way. We're in this together, and I want to find ways of rearing them together. Can we talk about it from that angle?
Now think about a recent crucial conversation you had. Did you lose sight of your real goals? How might the outcome have been different if you had started with heart? In your next crucial conversation, try this. Before you even begin, take a moment to identify your true goals. Write them down. Then keep them in mind throughout the conversation. You might be surprised at how much more productive your conversations can be when you start with heart.
The art of observation. Have you ever felt like you're missing something in a conversation? Like there's a hidden layer of meaning beneath the words? Well, it's not just about what is being said, but also how it's being said. This is the essence of our third key point, learn to look. Learn to look is all about being observant during crucial conversations. It's about noticing when the conversation is becoming heated or tense. This can be seen through body language, tone of voice, and other nonverbal cues. Understanding these signals can help you navigate the conversation more effectively. For instance, consider a team meeting where one of your colleagues suddenly crosses their arms and their voice becomes sharp. This change in demeanor might indicate that they're feeling defensive or threatened. By noticing these signs, you can adjust your approach and prevent the conversation from spiraling out of control. A critical skill of a communicator is to know yourself so that you understand when you are about to lose control. An empathic communicator also understands when someone else is about to lose control and avoids it. This is crucial to keep the conversation on the right path. Now let's bring this into your life. The next time you're in a conversation, try to be more observant. Notice the body language and tone of voice of the people you're talking to. Do they seem relaxed or tense? Are they open to what you're saying, or do they seem defensive? Unfortunately, this is not something that can be taught in a few minutes, and there are books about it. However, understanding the importance of nonverbal communication will help you ring a bell in your head when you see something you don't like. The more we observe, the better observers we become. So let's start practicing this skill right away.
Creating a safe space for dialogue. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation where tension was high and you felt uncomfortable sharing your thoughts? Well, this is where our fourth key concept, make it safe, comes into play. In any crucial conversation, it's natural for emotions to run high and for people to feel threatened. This can lead to a breakdown in communication, misunderstandings, and conflict. Making it safe is about creating an environment where everyone feels comfortable expressing their thoughts and feelings. This is achieved by showing empathy, respect, and understanding for the other person's perspective. Let's consider a scenario where two roommates are having a dispute over household chores. One feels overwhelmed by the amount of work they're doing, while the other is unaware of this. Instead of launching into a heated argument, the overwhelmed roommate could create a safe space by saying,
"I value our friendship and living together. I just want to talk about how we can make things fairer and more manageable for both of us."
To communicate your feelings is important, but also you have to create the right environment for allowing the other person to open with you. Sometimes asking questions first to understand the other person's point of view is very effective for this purpose. Now, think about a conversation you've had recently that didn't go as well as you'd hoped. How could you have made it safer? Perhaps you could have shown more understanding or expressed your thoughts in a less confrontational way. Try to apply the make it safe principle in your future conversations. Remember, it's not just about what you say, but also how you say it. If you find value in our work, feel free to subscribe to our social media channels and rate our podcast. We strongly appreciate that. Also, feel free to comment with your own experience. We happily read all the comments.
The power of perception. Have you ever found yourself reacting to a situation in a way even you didn't quite understand? Perhaps you've snapped at a loved one, or found yourself overwhelmed by fear in a relatively safe situation. What if I told you that these reactions are often driven by our internal narratives, our stories? Intriguing, isn't it? Our emotions and reactions are not purely responses to the events happening around us, but rather, they are influenced by the stories we tell ourselves about these events. This concept, called mastering your stories, is a powerful tool for putting ourselves into discussion. It encourages us to take a step back and analyze our interpretations of events. For instance, consider a situation where a friend cancels plans with you at the last minute. You might feel hurt and assume they don't value your time. But is this the reality, or is it the story you're telling yourself? Perhaps your friend had an emergency or was not feeling well. By challenging our narratives, we can better control our emotions and reactions. Now think about a recent situation where your emotions got the best of you. Try to identify the story you told yourself that led to those emotions. Was there another way to interpret the situation? How could a different narrative have led to a different emotional response? This practice of mastering your stories can lead to improved emotional intelligence and healthier relationships. So the next time you find yourself in a heated situation, take a moment to master your story. It might just change your reaction and in turn the outcome. This is an important tool for our self-analysis. However, this can be a double-edged sword, as we could over-justify the behavior of people we particularly like and not understand when the other is doing something with bad intentions or trying to manipulate us.
The STATE method, STATE. Have you ever found it challenging to express your point of view? Well, the State Your Path technique is a tool designed to help you navigate such situations. Imagine you're in a team meeting and you disagree with a proposed plan. Instead of arguing or staying silent, you can use the STATE method, which is an acronym for Share, Tell, Ask, Talk, Encourage. Let's dive into it. Firstly, you share your facts. These are the concrete, indisputable truths that your view is based on. In our team meeting scenario, you might say,
I've noticed that our current resources are already stretched thin.
Next, you tell your story. This is your interpretation of the facts. You might say,
I believe that taking on another project could lead me to burnout, or to give less importance to other projects that deserve my full attention.
Then, you ask for others' paths. This is where you invite others to share their views. You could ask,
what are your thoughts on our current workload?
Following this, you talk tentatively. This means expressing your views as your perspective, not the absolute truth. You might say,
I could be wrong, but I feel that we should focus on our current projects before taking on new ones.
Finally, you encourage testing. This is where you open up your views to be challenged or discussed. You might say,
I'm open to other perspectives on this. We could try this and then discuss how it is going next week.
Now, how can you apply this in your daily conversations? The next time you find yourself in a tough conversation, remember the STATE method. Practice it in easy discussions first, and as you get more comfortable, you'll find it becomes second nature. This way, you'll be able to express your views effectively, even in the most challenging conversations.
The journey of understanding. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation where neither party seems to be making any progress? It's like you're both stuck in a tug of war, each pulling with all their might, but the rope remains dead center. Well, what if I told you that the key to breaking this deadlock lies not in pulling harder, but in letting go and stepping into the other person's shoes? Intriguing, isn't it? The concept of exploring others' paths is a powerful tool in resolving conflicts and fostering understanding. It's about truly listening to the other person, not just hearing their words, but understanding their perspective, their feelings, and their motivations. It's about asking open-ended questions that encourage them to express themselves fully, rather than leading questions that steer the conversation towards your viewpoint. Take, for example, a manager and an employee who are at odds over a missed deadline. The manager, instead of reprimanding the employee outright, could ask,
can you help me understand what led to the delay?
This approach not only diffuses tension, but also opens up a dialogue where both parties can learn from each other. Now think about a recent disagreement you've had. How could it have played out differently if you had taken the time to truly understand the other person's perspective? Next time you find yourself in a conflict, try exploring the other person's path. Ask open-ended questions, listen actively, and strive to understand their viewpoint. As you might see, understanding the other is a recurring point of this book. It might not be easy, but the rewards are stronger relationships, better decisions, and less conflict, and those are well worth the effort. Remember, understanding is the first step towards resolution.
Moving to action. Have you ever found yourself stuck in a cycle of endless discussion without ever reaching a decision? Well, this key point is about breaking that cycle and moving to action. It's about making things happen and creating change. It's about the who, what, and when of decision-making. In the heart of every conversation, there's a decision waiting to be made. Whether it's a decision about your personal life, your career, or even a decision that impacts a whole organization, the process is the same. It involves understanding, agreement, and a clear action plan. Let's consider a real-life example. Imagine a family dinner. Two parents and a son want to spend time together for a special occasion. One can be stressed about preparing all the food, because every year he does it. The other is frustrated for eating late at night, which will cause a bad sleeping night, and the other might be overwhelmed by the location. But it's hard to change all of this because those things happen traditionally like this. Let's consider all of them listen to this episode and want to apply what they learned. The first step is to create a healthy environment for expressing their own sensations, then understanding the perspectives of the other, and the last is to take action. They start by summarizing the different viewpoints. Then they together propose a course of action, sharing the duties and the responsibilities. They agree and start working like a team. Now think about your own life. Where are you stuck in endless discussion? Where do you need to move to action? The next time you find yourself in a crucial conversation, remember this key point. Summarize the different viewpoints, propose a course of action, and specify who will do what by when. You'll be amazed at how quickly you can move from discussion to action.
Practice makes perfect. Have you ever wondered why some people seem to navigate difficult conversations with ease, while others struggle? Well, the secret lies in practice. Just like learning a musical instrument or a new sport, mastering the art of crucial conversations requires consistent practice. In the heart of this concept is the understanding that our communication skills, much like any other skill, can be honed and improved over time. It's not about being born a great communicator, but about learning, adapting, and refining your skills. Let's consider a professional athlete. They didn't wake up one day with exceptional abilities. They dedicated time, energy, and consistent practice to become better. Similarly, we can become better communicators. Now imagine applying this principle to your conversations. Think about a recent discussion that didn't go as planned. What if you could replay that conversation, but this time, you're equipped with the skills and techniques you've learned and practiced? The outcome could be significantly different, right? So, what can you do to practice these skills? Start by identifying opportunities in your daily life where you can apply the principles of crucial conversations. It could be a discussion with a coworker, a negotiation with a client, or even a chat with a family member. Reflect on these interactions, learn from them, and apply the lessons to future conversations. Remember, the goal is not to win an argument, but to create a dialogue that leads to mutual understanding and resolution. So let's get to it. Start practicing today and see how your conversations and relationships transform. Remember, practice makes perfect.
Well, today we learned a lot of concepts. We've taken a deep dive into the power of dialogue, the importance of starting with heart, and the skill of keen observation. We've then explored how to make conversations safe, master our stories, and the state method. And finally, we've touched on moving to action and the significance of practice. Now remember, mastering crucial conversations is a journey, not a destination. It's about making progress, not seeking perfection. So take that first step. Start a dialogue, share your story, listen to others, and move towards action. For more insights and strategies, I highly recommend diving into the book Crucial Conversations by Al Switzler. And don't forget to follow us on our social media channels for more enriching content. Thank you for joining us today on Learning Every Day. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep having those crucial conversations.